Sorry for all the extensive preparation, just to build suspense. A police officer is parked alongside a highway and he clocks a car creeping along at 33 miles an hour. He's concerned and he pulls the car over to make sure everything is okay. He approaches the car and he discovers it's carrying several nuns, including the driver. "Excuse me, sister," he says to the driver, "is everything all right?" She replies, "Oh yes, officer, we're just fine. Was I doing something wrong?" The policeman says, "Well, sister, you were traveling way under the speed limit. I was concerned you might be having car trouble or something." "But officer," the nun interrupts, "I saw a sign about a mile back that said 33, and I know I wasn't going any faster than that." Chuckling, the policeman says, "Sister, that was a state highway route marker. This is state route 33, not the speed limit. The speed limit sign says MPH at the bottom." "Oh, now don't I feel foolish," replied the nun, a bit embarrassed. "That's okay, sister, but just please try to be more careful. I'd hate to see anything happen. I'd hate to see any of you get hurt." As he leans down to say goodbye to the nuns in the back seat, he notices for the first time that they are all pale. They're trembling violently back there. "Sister, what is wrong with your friends? Should I escort you to the hospital?" "Oh, no, they're all right," she says. "We just turned off Route 150. So, obviously, she made a little mistake there. And I spoke recently about mistakes, and then this week I was compelled to revisit that topic because it's an interesting topic, it's a broad topic. Let's face it, folks, we all make mistakes. And the thing that is interesting is that the topic of mistakes is addressed very often in the Spirit lectures that were delivered out here and in lectures delivered by other prominent Spirit teachers throughout the past. So whether we're talking about our everyday lives or our spiritual development, our paths hold a series of lessons. And many of our lessons are related to our mistakes. The mistakes that we make, the mistakes that others make that directly affect us. We usually consider mistakes to be negative events, which by definition they are, but we sometimes forget that they are important steps along our individual paths. Here are some quotes that put mistakes into a more beneficial light. Albert Einstein said, "Anyone who has never made a mistake has never tried anything new." The early 20th century philosopher and inspirational writer Elbert Hubbard said, "The greatest mistake you can make in life is to be continually fearing that you will make one." Carl Jung, the famous founder of analytic psychology, said, "Mistakes are, after all, the foundations of truth. And if a man does not know what a thing is, it is at least an increase in his knowledge if he knows what it is not." One of my favorite writers, popular writers, was the late Kurt Vonnegut. And he said, "A step backward after making a wrong turn is a step in the right direction." So this morning I'd like to focus on mistakes that we might make in our spiritual development, those that can affect our lives on the earth plane, and sometimes even what happens to us after we pass into spirit. Whether we're talking about earthly law or God's law, mistakes can play important roles. Mistakes are certainly related to the law of cause and effect. They are deeply connected with the law of forgiveness, the law of acceptance, and the law of releasing, just to name three. We know that mistakes and sins are related. Both are just different degrees of wrongful acts. In general, a mistake is an unintentional error in judgment. Pouring salt into your coffee instead of sugar is a mistake. We often make mistakes when we're rushed, distracted, or being careless. Sin is a deliberate choice. It's related to the gift of free will. It's our conscious choice to do something we know is wrong, regardless of extenuating circumstances. In this talk, though, I'm not drawing a big distinction between mistakes and sins, but just treating both as acts of error. There's also one other aspect of mistakes that we should consider, and these are the mistakes that arise from not doing something. In the religious realm, these are known as the sins of omission, and our spirit teachers have more to say about them a little later in my talk. Speaking of spirit teachers, Dr. Martin, the foremost spirit teacher for Reverend Anita Rutter here at New Era, had much to say about the spiritual nature of mistakes and what to do about them. As an example, in May of 1976, Dr. Martin said in a lecture, "Yes, everything in nature, if you look around, gives you a lesson. Even as the rains refresh the ground, so the discipline from the higher forces refreshes you into thinking on your mistakes and turning to mending those vibrations you have broken." Many of the teachings of Jesus are concerned with mistakes and sins. He warns us about making mistakes. He warns us about the dangers of temptation. He teaches us about forgiving the mistakes of others. And he teaches each one of us that we are forgiven by God, and he teaches us of the importance of forgiving others. So people could understand his lessons more easily, Jesus sometimes used parables. And it is in these short and powerful stories that Jesus shows us the impact of mistakes on our lives. Most of us are familiar with the parable that Luke relates in chapter 14, sometimes called the parable of the great banquet. In it, a man plans a feast and has his servants invite several people. When the banquet is ready, most of the people don't show up. When the man sends his servants out to fetch him, most of the people who are invited explain that they're too busy to attend. Exasperated and angry, the man finally invites a group of strangers, including the blind, the lame, the poor, to enjoy the sumptuous feast, which they do. So here, Jesus is telling us that God has invited us to a beautiful banquet, to his heavenly kingdom, and to turn down the invitation is a big mistake. If we don't appreciate the invitation, there will be plenty of people who will cherish the opportunity to take our place. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus gives us the parable of the two builders. The wise builder constructs a home on a rock, giving it a foundation that can withstand storms and floods. The foolish builder constructs his home on sand and leaves it vulnerable to rain and flooding, which do in fact soon topple it. Here, Jesus is telling us that to ignore his teachings, to ignore our spiritual development, to ignore God's laws is to invite disaster due to this serious mistake. If we ignore these higher truths, we could find ourselves spiritually weak and unable to withstand the challenges of the earth plane. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives us the parable of the rich fool. In this one, a farmer has a huge harvest, so large he cannot store all of it. He decides to tear down his existing barns and build an enormous one to store all of his bounty. Farmer is really happy because he no longer has to work. Instead, he can kick back and eat, drink, and be merry. But the parable ends with God chastising the farmer for laying up treasure for his own benefit and ignoring his spiritual development. In other words, in the time you have left on earth, turn your attention to God, to your spiritual development, rather than dwelling on the comforts of life. Though you may become rich in earthly goods, there is still much work to be done. There's one more parable we should look at, and that's in Luke chapter 18, where Jesus tells us the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Here we have two men at prayer. The self-righteous Pharisee stands up and says, "God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, the extortionists, the unrighteous, the adulterers, not even like this tax collector here next to me. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." The tax collector, hearing this, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. Instead, he beat his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus tells us that it is the tax collector who leaves the temple with God's blessing. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So what ultimately do these parables tell us about mistakes? In them, Jesus teaches us that mistakes are just waiting for us to make them. Forsaking our humility and paying attention to worldly goods are serious mistakes of the spirit. Being content with weak foundations while ignoring the opportunities the spiritual life offers us leads us to even greater mistakes. And that ignoring the higher teachings of Jesus is an enormous mistake for which we will pay dearly. We all know that becoming absorbed with the concerns of the earth plane is something we must guard against. When it comes to making mistakes, the earth plane is hazardous ground for sure. In a lecture Dr. Martin delivered through Anita Rutter in October of 1976, he emphasized this point. Keep in mind that the spiritual language that Dr. Martin uses here, the so-called conscious mind, is what we use to function on the earth plane. So he says, "You go out into the world, you look at others, and you do not approve of many things. Others come into your life. As you contact them, you are robbed of the beautiful, beautiful feelings. They spoil everything. And we say, when you come to realize your own high spirit, you will not allow anything like that to touch you for very long. Through experience, you have to learn, for everything is a lesson on the earth plane. But the minute you are disturbed, upset, and you feel you are crashing to the earth because of the negation you have observed, remember and remember well, the conscious mind would tell everyone what to do. The conscious mind would condemn. If not condemning, it would disapprove in a milder manner. The conscious mind is telling everybody what they should do." Then Dr. Martin goes on. "God does not work that way. He allows man, through man's mistakes, to learn to use his higher self to rise above certain conditions. Remember, those of you who are walking the earth plane, you are to lift the earth plane to spread happiness and joy and truth by how you live and what you do, not by condemning another or by allowing another to saturate you with a negative condition." So Dr. Martin is explaining that mistakes are difficult to avoid on the earth plane, especially when we're functioning according to our conscious minds. We need to be aware of this and we need to act accordingly. Here's what Dr. Martin says to do. "There is no one who does not have some negative condition pulling them to the earth. Some say, 'I'm not going to care.' But that's not the point. For you must learn to love all, including the souls of your enemies. You do not have to like what they do, but ask God to bless their souls so that their higher selves will guide their behavior and transform them spiritually. It is easy not to care. But if you do care, you will rise above it, not let it touch you. Bless that condition. There is not one who does not need to do this." I'd like to read from another spirit lecture, this one from a band of spirit teachers called White Eagle, who channeled their teachings in the early 20th century through an English medium named Grace Cook. Notice the similarity of what Dr. Martin calls the conscious mind with what White Eagle calls the lower self. Whichever term you prefer, these spirit teachers see both as potentially leading us by the hand into a number of mistakes. Here's White Eagle. We stress again that God has placed within every being a savior. Although you so often will not listen to the promptings of your savior, but give way to what you call the devil, there is a certain degree of truth in that old doctrine. Is it not the lower self that is the real evil or devil in a person? Evil means the devil, and the devil is the tempter. But you are also given the opportunity to resist, to rise above, and to overcome evil. Resistance really means the rising up of the noble Christ being in you, so that evil is overcome. The story of the temptations in the wilderness tells of this. When Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," the children of earth unfortunately do not recognize the weakness of human nature and that it is a temptation. They excuse themselves and say, "Oh, we're only human, what do you expect?" Even as we speak to you and use your earthly language, confusion can creep in. To put it plainly, once again, the lower nature in a person is both their tempter and their devil. To overcome temptation strengthens the spirit of Christ within. You must be stern with yourself. You must also see that other people are struggling, even as you continually struggle, to find the Christ help. The last area of spiritual mistake I want to mention is when we make a mistake by not doing something. These are the times we could have said something or done something to benefit someone else, but we neglected to do it. This is the sin of omission, and here's what Dr. Martin said in October of 1978 about this type of mistake. In your Bible, there is a passage about the deeds you could have done to help, but failed to do for one reason or another. You call them sins of omission. Sin meaning a mistake because you have overlooked some of the things that you could do to help others and yourself. You do not have to feel disturbed or severely reprimand yourself, for you can still allot time for accomplishing the things you have not done for others. If someone is now gone for whom you should have done something, or you should have said something kind to them and there is no way to see them again, ask for forgiveness. Forgive yourself and find someone else to say something kind to. But this must be done before you arrive in the spirit world. All things must be mended. All things must be taken care of before you go on into your next progression. These things that you should have done on earth while on the earth plane and the mistakes you made on the earth plane must be rectified. For although you have been born into the world to enjoy what God created, you are also here to help beautify the world and beautify it spiritually by bringing kindness and love to people, by bringing mankind together so that mankind can learn to love. So, wrapping all this up, here's a summary of some of the points that would be beneficial for all of us to keep in mind. Remember the parables that Jesus taught us. Build your spiritual foundation on rock. Maintain your humility. And never ignore the Christ, the Holy Comforter, or any other high spiritual entity, including the Creator. Realize that your lower self, your conscious mind, is the source of your temptation. Tune into your higher self whenever you feel tempted to make a mistake or commit a sin. Ask for help from the Creator, the Christ, and other high spirit entities. rectify your mistakes on earth, on the earth plane, while you still have the chance. Be sure to mend your mistakes before you enter into spirit. And don't lose track of our mission, both yours and mine, on the earth plane. And that is to rise above evil, to beautify the world through kindness and love, to do whatever we can to help the world learn to love. In closing, here's a statement Dr. Martin made in a lecture he called Getting Over Mistakes. He says, "You do not need to beat yourself up mentally. You do not need to put yourself down. Everyone was made in the image of God. You are all children of God. If you've missed the mark, if you have not reached your highest concepts, not only in your work, not only in your decisions or your treatment of other people, even in your discovering the joy of life, remember, you can correct all these things and proceed forward on your journey of life. Thank you. God bless you."